Well, again, thank you, Elizabeth, for just your choice of song for this morning, just to play through that time. And as we've been working through today and thinking about the fact that we are to be a generous community, I suppose some of what we've heard can be a little bit confronting for us, can't it? The reality of the financial situation of, you know, of where we are. But there's something about family that we need to be able to sit down and say, this is where it is. Your home budget, I'm sure you do that with each other and you say, no, hang on, we've got to cut back on the spending there a little bit. You can't buy that this week. How about we just, you know, we'll work towards that and things like that. So that's what family do. So that's where we are today. But as we think about the idea of being a generous community, it goes so much further than just this idea of where our finances are. Now, if I was to say to you, give me the name of somebody who you would say is generous. Think about that for yourself. In your mind, somebody who you would say is a generous person. What are the attributes of that person? What are the things about them that actually put them into that little space for you? I know for Sharon and myself, we grew up, once we were married, we met a lovely couple, married, yeah, we didn't grow up together. We were quite old at this point in time. Well, young but old, if you know what I mean. We met this beautiful couple. She worked at the school where Sharon was teaching, and when we had Caitlin, our first daughter, we were looking at buying ourselves a house, you know, wanting to get into the market. And Margaret said to us, hey, how about you just come and live with us for a while? We've got a garage. You can actually live in there. You can use our house for all of that. You can save some money. So we thought, yeah, great opportunity. And we did that. We moved into this garage. Quite literally, it was a garage. Where the roller door was, they'd put a panel up there so that you couldn't open the roller door. And we lived in this garage that had a double bed and just enough room either side for us to get in and out and a baby's cot and things like that. That was where we lived for the first 18 months of having Caitlin in our home, in our lives. And when we were there, we thought that's a very generous thing for them to do. But being there, we actually discovered so much more to who Margaret and Jeff were as a couple. They just had such generous hearts. They opened their house to so many people. They did so many things for other people that you would never know about. And they just had these personalities that just went, oh, we just love people. And it was a number of years later, sadly, Jeff died of a very serious illness, and Margaret was left on her own. And soon after we'd come out of college, probably about 12 months after, we're out at Penrith and looking after the core out there. And for us, we just didn't have the money for looking at a second car or anything like that. If one of us was on the school run, Sharon most often would do the school run. If I had to go somewhere, I would take the core bus. Now, this is an 18-seater bus, which is a little bit hard to drive around the place for just, you know, visits and things like that. But that was the reality of what it was. You know, one day, Margaret came up to us and she said, we've got this car that's just sitting here at the moment. We don't use. Our boys have their cars. I've got my car. This one's just sitting here. Here's the keys. We want you to have this car to use for your ministry. And if you get to a point of being able to pay back this car, yeah, that'll happen. But if you never do, I don't mind. I don't worry about that. And she handed over the keys to this car. You know, we were just, it was only a little car, a little Hyundai XL. We called it our clown car, you know. You'd just get the four of us in there and we'd scoot around this little thing. But we were just blown away by the generosity of Margaret. And still today, we are great friends with her. There's a very deep relationship that we have with her because of her friendship, but also the way that she loved and cared for us. Generosity is something that goes far beyond just the idea of money. Now, the passage of scripture that we looked at, that Ron read for us, Luke chapter 12, I want you to open that up because we need to have just a quick look at this again to see where we're sitting with this idea of being a generous community. So Luke chapter 12, and in this passage, you actually discover two things that are happening. The first thing is Jesus has this guy come up to him and confront him with a question, and then Jesus responds to the question with a parable, with a story, to help people to understand what he is talking about. And very quickly, we just want to look at what these two things are. So Luke chapter 12, at verse 13, we find, first of all, this family dispute that is happening. And Jesus is confronted by this man who just quite simply says this: "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Now, put it into picture, bit of a context there for the Jewish situation. For a family, the inheritance would be the eldest child would get 2/3 of the inheritance, the second one would get 1/3 of the inheritance, and that was it. Okay? Now, obviously, this, I'm assuming, we don't get too much detail. We don't know whether this is the eldest or the youngest. You would assume it's the youngest. And he is saying, I want a little bit more. Jesus, you might be able to speak into this. You might be able to convince my brother to change what the arrangement is. We don't know exactly what it is. But one thing we do know is Jesus says, actually, I'm not going to get involved with this. I'm not going to be a part of your desire to just want to grab more. Because anything that I choose to do or say in regard to sharing this out, I reckon you probably won't be completely satisfied anyway. Because the issue isn't a money issue. The issue is a heart issue. For this guy, there was something in him that just said, I want. And he wanted Jesus to actually help him to change his situation. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to be a part of that. And Jesus moves on to tell this story. And he actually labels it just before this in verse 15. He says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life doesn't consist in an abundance of possessions. And Jesus goes on to tell this parable. And it's a story of a guy who basically thinks he has a storage issue. Now, who watches The Block? Anybody here watch The Block? If you know The Block, Shayna Blaze, one of the judges, is all about storage. You've got to make sure that you have ample storage in your room, in your house, whatever it is. She'll go into a place and she says, where am I going to put that? And there's not enough storage in this. Oh, I love these cupboards, you know. Oh, love. Now, that's the kind of thing. Shayna just loves storage. And we're people who need storage, don't we? We get things and we need somewhere to put it. We can't go without having good storage around the place. You can even go to a shop that is basically set up for storage. On the TV this morning, saw an ad for, what was that, Taxi Box. They'll come to you with storage now. They'll come, they'll take it away, they'll store it somewhere. You want it, you call them, they'll come and bring your stuff back to you. Taxi Box. We all want more and more storage. The problem is, the more storage you get, the more you fill it with things, stuff. and it sits there. I don't know, anybody here have one of those rooms or cupboards that you just say, I've got to get to that one day? You know, maybe, yes. We've all got those places, and there's fingers pointing all around the place as well. We've all got those places that you open and go, I need to look at that one day, and you close it up again. Maybe it's your garage. Maybe you're just a goods storer. Maybe people call you a hoarder. I don't know what it is. But stuff is what we store. And the problem is the more storage, the more stuff. And again, this man thought he had a storage issue. He actually says in verse 16, he says, we've got that up there, verse 16. He says, the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Now, we need to understand with this little parable as well. This isn't about being rich and Jesus saying it's a bad thing. You actually see there that Jesus begins this story by saying that the ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. That is obviously the blessing of God, a man who has worked hard and he has been blessed with this abundant harvest. So this isn't about saying rich is bad and you've got to give everything away. It's actually about saying what's really at the heart of who we are. And where does generosity play a part in who we are as God's people? You can probably say that that generosity, and Hannah, thank you for what you did with the kids. Hannah had no idea that I was actually going to do this. The idea of generosity is like this, and I know you said at the end, having that open hand, generosity is just being like this. Generosity is saying, this is what I have, this is what God has blessed me with, and I recognize and I understand that it's not mine, and I just open myself like this. And I want to be able to use what God has blessed me with to bless other people. But what works in opposition to that is the idea of greed. And this is where this parable comes in. And the difference between generosity and greed is this, that you come over here and like your clenched fist, Hannah, it's really closing, holding everything in close to yourself and just dragging everything in, holding onto it tightly. And this idea of you've got a hold of what you have and you're not going to let go. And there's a different posture in the two, isn't there? There's this real openness and this freedom of just being able to say, this is who I am. This is how God has blessed my life. And I don't hold on to things because I think that they're mine. In opposed to, well, I've worked hard for this and I'm not going to let go of it. And if I hold onto it tightly and I'm not going to give it away by any means because I've worked so hard for this and I just need to find more things to put it in and store it and keep it safe so that I'm looked after. And the big difference actually comes in the way that we speak about ourselves and see ourselves. In this simple little passage that Jesus talks about this parable, the way that this man speaks of himself, as you go through it, you probably find, depending on your translation, 7, 8, maybe 9 times where he talks about I, me, mine. And it's the heart of the issue of generosity comes down to whether it's all about me, and what I'm doing for my future and how hard I've worked to gather and gain and draw it all in, or whether I actually see that I have been blessed by God and that none of it's actually mine, and that God says, look, I'm giving you all of this. If we're to look at the idea of what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, earlier on in the Gospel of Luke, John the Baptist, before Jesus began his ministry, John the Baptist was one of the guys who began to say, the Messiah is coming, so we need to get ready. And he began to speak of the kingdom of God and drawing people into that idea of a relationship with God. And John the Baptist had people coming to him, and they would be saying, we want to be a part of this. We want some of what you've got and what you're offering. And John actually said to one group of people, actually, you're a group of vipers. You're just snakes. You're not here for what it is, for accepting what God has done in your life. You're only here to give yourself a good name. You need to be careful about what you're actually committing to before you sign up to it. And these people, after John said that, in John chapter 3, and in verse 10, the crowd asked, then what should we do? What should we do? If we've got to be careful, what's it mean for us to live a life that honors God like you're talking about? And John's response was this: if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Now, that's a fairly obvious thing. I looked at this and I thought, how do you make that? How do you simplify that? What do you do to make that look real? And Rodney, you're a math teacher, is that right? No. Yeah, you am. I want to, can we throw this this little equation up here? I just want to see if I'm right here, okay? Here's a very simple equation, isn't it? Okay? Very simple. Who'd struggled with this? Anybody here struggling? Yeah, some people are being honest. If you struggle with this equation, here's someone to talk to. Now, come and see Rodney. Rodney, what would your answer to this be? It's two, okay, all right. Rodney's hoping it's right. Anyone else agree with Rodney? Yes. I actually came up with a different answer to this. This is the answer that I came up with. Is that wrong? Is that equation wrong? No. But it actually changes the way that we see the idea of what I have and how I can use it. I actually haven't lost anything. I still have one. If I've got two donuts and I see, Torian, that you don't have a donut and you'd like a donut, you can just taste it in your mouth, can't you? If I had two donuts here and you can smell it, and the sugar and cinnamon, you can just kind of taste that as well. And you just want a donut. If I've got two donuts and I'm eating one of them, you'd want one, wouldn't you?
Maybe give one to Tom Cat, which you had your monster truck.
Yes. He's been at the Ecker, obviously, so yeah. But if I've got two, the generous side of me, the generous heart of me would say, I can keep one. And I can actually share one with somebody else who doesn't have one. I'm not losing out. I still have one. And I'm actually making sure that you have one as well. And that's generosity in action. It's this idea of saying, God's blessed me. God's blessed me with so much in life. And I don't want to hold on to it like this. And I don't want to grab a hold of it and just not let go. In fact, there's something about the joy that you find in going like this and saying, would you like one of my donuts? And seeing the joy that comes with sharing. Hey, just very, very quickly as we go through this, just to wrap things up, how do we overcome this idea of living this kind of a life? How do we overcome this? How do we step into this with open arms and wanting to share? Three very quick things just to help us in this. First of all, We need to be able to build our life on God, not on stuff. Recognizing that stuff literally becomes a bottomless pit. Because the more you get, the more you want. And when you get, you need to upgrade eventually if you've got that phone when the new one comes out. The old one just seems a little bit sluggish and it doesn't do as much as the new one does. And the new one's a better design, more memory, or faster, all of these things. All of a sudden the one that you have just doesn't seem good enough. And the problem is when we build our life on stuff, we just want more stuff. And when you get more stuff, you're never satisfied with the stuff. And it becomes this bottomless pit. But when we build our life on God Himself and recognizing that He is the giver of all things, it actually changes our attitude. Another thing that we can do is to rediscover or discover the joy of your calling. Now, when I say calling, we need to put it into this kind of perspective. We need to put it into the perspective of discovering the joy of your purpose. The purpose that God has placed you here on this earth. And you know, one of the purposes that God has placed each one of you here is actually to be able to share the blessing of who He is. That other people will know and recognize who He is because of who you are and how you have experienced God Himself. Now, I've never really taken notice of this song or this verse in the song that we sang early this morning. First song we sang, Stand Up and Bless the Lord. For the very first time, this line jumped out of me in the fourth verse. Fourth verse says, God is our strength and song and His salvation ours. Then be His love in Christ proclaimed with all our ransomed powers. Then be His love. I've actually never grasped that before until this morning, that I am called to be His love. I am called to actually step out and to share the love, the joy of His salvation that I've experienced with others. And you know, part of that is recognizing the idea of generosity. Nothing is mine. It's actually all God's. He's blessed me and He says, hey, I've got a bag of 10 donuts for you. I'm blessing you with this bag of 10 donuts. Who wants a donut now? Anyone feeling like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I don't have any. But if we had a bag of 10 donuts, it'd be like God says, you know, I'm blessing you with these 10 donuts. Look, I love you so much, I'm going to give you 9 of them to do whatever you want with, but I just want you to honor my kingdom by giving me 1. That's all I want. And the rest of them are yours. Actually, they're not really yours at all. They're mine. But I love you enough that I want you to take them and use them. And just that recognition that nothing is ours. And you may say that you work hard and you've built this whatever it is around you, but reality is without God's blessing on our life, we would have nothing itself, nothing at all. And so that idea of just recognizing, discovering the joy of your calling, your purpose, that God has called you and wants you to bless others in the world. And the last thing is just a very quick question that I want you to answer for yourself. And the question is this: what impact do you want to make? What kind of impact do you want to make in this world? What kind of legacy do you want to leave? This parable that Jesus told, as this guy built up his kingdom around him and his storehouses were full, and he said, I'm just going to sit back and eat, drink and be merry. The response was, you fool. You're a fool if you think that's all there is. Because one day you will die, and what are you going to do with all of this stuff? And what's the legacy that we leave? When we leave this world, how have we used what God has blessed us with? To honor Him, to build His kingdom, and to bless others as well. Part of that, some of you may be sitting there saying, well, that's good, but I don't have much at all. I don't have much that I can give. I'm really limited in whether it's finances. I'm really limited in my own gifts and abilities. And I'm not a skilled person by any means. I don't have much to offer. But as we look through Scripture, something we discover is time and time again, God uses just the little things that people offer. Moses himself, he wasn't a skilled man by any means. All he had was a staff, a rod. And if you look at who he was a man with a stutter. So he said, I've got a staff and a stutter, I've got nothing. But God said, all I want you to do is offer it, and I will make the impact. When David, that little shepherd boy, came along, all he said is, I'm a little boy and I've got nothing. I can't hold a sword, but I've got a sling and I can take 5 stones. And God said, that's all I want. I will take down the giant Goliath. All I want is for you to offer what you have. And for that little boy who came with his lunchbox that had a couple of bread rolls and 5 little fish, and he said, I don't have much, but here's what I can give. And God says, I'm going to multiply what you have to feed a multitude. And it all comes down to the offering that we give, the offering of who we are, and just saying, God, I don't have much, but I give it. I give it to you. That's what God calls us to be, as generous people. People who acknowledge who He is, His blessings to us, and how we can use what we have been given by God to actually look around and see what the needs are, how we can bless somebody else. Have you ever paid for somebody's meal secretly? Have you ever given somebody just a gift that they didn't expect? Have you ever been able to give time to somebody where they said, no, I don't need your help, but you say, I'm here to help anyway? Simple little things like that really just bless other people. You've probably been on the receiving end of some of those generous acts. And when you are, you're just blown away the fact that somebody would offer themselves like that. And God wants us to be people who are generous, open arms, saying, God, you've blessed me, and I just give it back to you. As we think about ourselves as being a generous community, I suppose we need to ask the question of, what impact are we willing to have on God's kingdom? As a church, what impact will we have? As an individual Christian person in this world, what impact will you have on the kingdom of God? Will you give? Or will you say, no, actually, I've worked hard for this and I'm going to keep? If I look at that parable, if we're in this kind of position, God's response to us will be, you fool, because I've blessed you and I didn't hold myself back for you at all. In fact, gift that Jesus gave. It was the greatest and most generous act when he gave himself for you. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small? If I had everything in the world that I could give, it'd still be not enough. Because of the understanding of God's love, so amazing and so divine. And my response should be that it demands my soul, my life, and my all. And that is generosity. I pray that from today that you go from here challenged about who you are as a generous person. About what is yours and what is God's. And how you can love him and serve him as part of a generous community. That's this congregation. You are generous people. But even some of those areas where we may hold on too tightly, God will challenge us and say, hey, I'm just going to keep on poking that because I reckon you've got more to give. Let's pray together. Father God, today we just thank you for who you are. A God who gave us everything and held nothing back. And Lord, our response to that should be that we say, Father, to you, I honor you and acknowledge that you are the giver of all things. And Father, today as an offering, I give you myself, my all, out of love and in service for you. Father, I ask that you will help us to be people who consider our generosity and those areas where you need to challenge us. But God, may we be people who just lovingly and willingly open our arms and say, God, you've blessed me and I thank you and I want to love other people in this way. So Father, I thank you for each person in this room. May we be people who just want to honor you time and time and time again. That we will have generous hearts, that we will see others and the needs that others have. And may we be able to say, how can I help? What can I do? How can I show the love of Jesus? So Father, I thank you for my friends here. And I thank you most of all for your great love for us. Father, as we go from this place, may people know us as being a generous people because of your love and because of who you are. So God, today, we just give you the praise, the honor, and the thanks for all that you have done for us. May our response be the one that we give ourselves to you as an offering. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.